الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، قال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ما طلعت الشمس على رجل خير من عمر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: قد كان في الأمم محدثون، فإن يكن في أمتي فعمر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by thanking you, my host, the people of Ba'li, for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these efforts of yours in listening to this message. As I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these efforts of mine in delivering this message. Indeed, you have made a great sacrifice. And I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah appreciates the sacrifice that you've made. And indeed, you will realize the value of this sacrifice when you stand before your Lord on the Day of Judgment. And indeed, this is a great blessing upon you and I that Allah has chosen us today. Out of the hundreds and thousands that live in this blessed city or town. But look how blessed you are that Allah has chosen you to listen to His words and the words of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if the Muslims had the same amount of love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they have for a game of football, only Allah and Allah alone knows where this ummah would be today. These words of mine are sad. But if you ponder over these words, indeed they mean something. I'm sure I was here last year. It wasn't the World Cup. And in this very hall, there wasn't even space for people to stand, never mind sit down. And now it is World Cup season. And this, what I see, is not just what I'm witness here in Batley, but up and down the different cities I travel trying to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find no different. Such is the love that people have for a game of soccer that I say, if they had the same love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they have for a game of soccer, then only Allah knows where this ummah would be today. My brothers, many great people have come and gone. Aristotle, he was great. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Deep down, I do not feel like delivering lectures in this World Cup period. Deep down, I'll be very honest with you. My heart does not feel to deliver lectures. Because for me, it's so sad. So sad that when you see, you know, worldwide, the ummah being humiliated, the ummah being slaughtered in hundreds and thousands. Yet this is, you know, the condition of the ummah. That we have no value for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to watch the Ronaldos and the Ronaldinhos, we will sacrifice everything that we possess. For Fajr namaz, we will not be able to get up. And the excuses that we offer is that we've got to go to work in the morning. But if the game's at 3 o'clock, we will make sure that our businesses are closed so we can get home in time for the game. It is time for prayer. And there's a game of soccer on. And you will see that we will give preference to the game of soccer over worshipping our Lord and our Creator. And then everybody says that the ummah is being humiliated. The ummah is being walked upon. Some things you just don't know whether to laugh or whether to cry. Nevertheless, many great people have come and gone. Now, Aristotle, he was great because he was a thinker. Caesar, Napoleon, Alexander, they were also great. They were great because they were conquerors and great administrators. Einstein was great because he was an inventor. Peter and Frederick were great because they evolved order out of chaos and they made their respective nations great. Solomon and Justinian were great. One of them was the wisest and the most magnificent potentate that ever lived. And the second was a great lawgiver. And Anushirwan was great because of his justice and his generosity. And the list will continue. And you will find the modern Muslim of today, that is people like you and myself, we have acquainted ourselves and we have familiarized ourselves with personalities like this and the modern day personalities, the likes of the Beckhams, the likes of the Ronaldos and the Ronaldinhos and the Rivaldos and personalities like this. We know who they are. We know what they have achieved. We know every single thing about these personalities. The food that they like. The food that they dislike. The drinks that they like. The drinks that they dislike. We know of the contribution that they have made to society. Yet, this very individual who declares La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he confesses that he loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is nothing more dear to him than Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This individual, when it comes to his religion, when it comes to great personalities of this religion, the likes of Abu Hanifa, the likes of Malik, the likes of Shafi'i, the likes of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the likes of Bukhari, the likes of Tirmizi, the likes of Nasai, the likes of Ibn Majah, the likes of Ibn Saqal, the likes of Dariqutni, the likes of Khuzaymah. When it comes to great Islamic personalities, this Muslim who declares La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, does not even have a leg to stand on. Such is this condition of the Muslim of this day and age, that though he professes with his tongue La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, people who are classed to be the pillars of Islam and those that strengthen Islam, basic personalities of this religion, for example, the likes of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Muslim of today is even ignorant with regards to basic personalities like this. The very man regarding whom the poet said, لَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمُسْتَنْكِرِ أَنْ يَجْمَعَ الْعَالَمْ فِي وَاحِدِ. The very man in who Allah had made the whole world absorb in. The very man whose genius contributed more towards the formation and centralization of a nation than the combined effort of a million. The very man who till this day, though centuries have passed till he died, who till this day is believed to be a miracle in himself, as he not only founded an empire, Umar gave it that solidarity that this empire remained unshaken for centuries after his death. For 14 centuries, this empire remained unshaken. That personality who was Aristotle, who was Alexander, he was Caesar, he was Napoleon, he was Peter, he was Frederick, he was Solomon, he was Justinian, all rolled into one. Because Umar was a conqueror, and at the same time as he was a conqueror, Umar was a statesman. At the same time he was a statesman, Umar was an administrator. At the same time as an administrator, Umar was a reformer. At the same time as a reformer, Umar was a spiritual head. And for this reason, the title that I've chosen for today's gathering is none other than Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So people like you and me, we can familiarize ourselves and we can acquaint ourselves with personalities to whom we are indebted to for our kalima, to whom we are indebted to for our belief in the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was because of the sacrifices of people like this that today you and me and our mothers and fathers and our children declare La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And I say for those of us that are ignorant with regards to the likes of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the status of Umar, he was that companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان بعدي نبي لكان عمر. O Muslimano, if there was a prophet to come after me, though there is no prophet. Why? أنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي. I am the seal of prophethood. There is no prophet after me. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Muhammad was a seal of prophethood. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there was a prophet after me, then surely the person who would have received this honor and who would have received this blessing from my ummah would be none other than Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Such was the status of Umar that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, O Muslimano, مَا تَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسِ عَلَى رَجُلٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عُمَرٍ. The sun has never risen on a man better than Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. He is the companion of Muhammad, regarding whom our beloved Prophet said, قَدْ كَانَ فِي الْعُمَمِ مُحَدَّثُونَ فَإِنْ يَكُنْ فِي أُمَّةِ فَأُمَّةِ. That in the nations before you, there were people who were inspired with guidance. Allah would guide them, and Allah would inspire them with guidance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there is such a person in my nation and my ummah, who Allah has given guidance, and who Allah inspires with guidance, then this person from my ummah is none other than Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. He is that companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he would raise his hands and he would beg for Allah's mercy and he would pray to the Almighty Allah, asking Allah to guide Umar to Islam, asking Allah to give Umar the tawfiq to embrace and declare La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This was the dua of Muhammad. Allahumma aizzal Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi Abi Jahl ibn Hisham. Oh Allah, I beg you, honor Islam. Oh Allah, I beg you, strengthen Islam with either Sayyidina Umar Farooq or with either Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. Oh Allah, whoever you love out of these two people, whoever is more dear to you, oh Allah, guide him. This was the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the likes of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he embraced Islam and he declared, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The likes of Sayyidina Jibreel descended from the heavens and he came to our beloved Prophet Muhammad and he said, Ya Muhammad, istabshara ahlus sama bi islami Umar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What do you think was the status of this personality that on the dunya, the day he declares, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the angels in the heavens are rejoicing. So much so that the likes of Jibreel descends from the heavens and he comes to our beloved Prophet Muhammad and he informs him, Ya Muhammad, istabshara ahlus sama, that today even the angels in the heavens are expressing happiness and they are celebrating the conversion of Umar to Islam. He is that companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, regarding whom our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Muslimano, ittaku ghadaba Umar, fa inna Allah yaghdib idha ghadaba Umar. Be careful, do not make Umar angry. Be careful of making him angry. Why? Because when Umar becomes angry, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبْ, the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi becomes angry as a result of the anger of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. He is the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was the governor of Egypt and the river Nile of the Egyptians dried out and it stopped flowing, and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in Madinat al-Munawwara, as he and he is informed that the river Nile of the Egyptians is drying out. My brothers, when he is informed, he takes a pen and paper and he writes a letter to the river Nile of the Egyptians, and this was the first letter in history and the last letter that has ever been written to the Nile. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote on that letter, Min Abdullah Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, ila Neel Ahli Misr, amma ba'd, fa in kunta tajri min qibalik, fala tajri, wa in kana al-wahid al-kahhar yujriyak, fa nas'al Allah al-wahid al-kahhar an yajriyak. He wrote, Min Abdullah, from the servant of Allah, Umar, Amir al-Mu'mineen, commander of the faithful, ila Neel Ahli Misr, to the river Nile of the Egyptians, after praising the Almighty Allah and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa in kunta tajri min qibalik, Umar has this to say, O river Nile of the Egyptians, if you flow with your own will, your own power, or on your own accord, if you have the power to flow, then Umar has nothing to say to you. But if it is the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi who makes you flow, then Umar asks that very Lord of his, Umar asks his creator, Umar asks his Allah to make you flow. My brothers, this is what he writes on the letter. And he orders that this letter of his is placed inside the river Nile. It is taken all the way to Egypt. and this letter is placed inside the River Nile. And as the letter is placed in the River Nile, such was the effect of that letter, my brothers, that the River Nile of the Egyptians began to flow, and the water and the level of the water began to rise. Such was the impact that 1400 years have passed, and the River Nile of the Egyptian, after receiving the letter of Umar, has never dried out. Umar was that companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had such awe that Arabia and Persia trembled at his name, and the earth would move in the direction of Umar. The shaitan was so terrified of Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala an, that your prophet, my prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said this, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ مَا لَقِيَقَ الشَّيْطَانُ صَالِكٍ فَجًّا إِلَّا سَلَكَ فَجًّا غَيْرَ فَجِّكَ. I swear by the one in whose hands my life is in, O Umar, the shaitan does not meet you walking down some alleyway, except that the shaitan is so terrified of you that the shaitan changes direction. He begins to walk down a different alleyway. He begins to take a different road. He begins to take a different street. Umar is that companion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whose opinions became religious institution and continue to do so to this very day. 20 of the opinions of Umar received the sanction of revelation. Umar would say something at the same time, my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal verses of the Quran. In the beginning of Islam, when hijab was not compulsory on the believing women, when parda was not compulsory upon the believing women, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would not wear hijab. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu remonstrated. He objected. My brothers, Umar objects, and the verse of the Quran is revealed from the heavens, and the opinion of Umar receives the sanction of revelation. And Allah says to our beloved Prophet, Ya ayyuhan nabi, kulli azwajik wa banatik wa nisa'i al-mu'minin yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. O Muhammad, kulli azwajik, tell your wives, wa banatik, tell your daughters, wa nisa'i al-mu'minin, tell the believing women, yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin, that they should draw veils over their bodies. When Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites, rise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of mere kindness, desires to offer the janazah namaz of Abdullah bin Ubay, the leader of the hypocrites. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu objects, and the objection and the opinion of Umar received the sanction of revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا تَأَبَدٌ وَلَا تَكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَبْرِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not offer the janazah namaz of any one of these people. Once a Jew says to Umar, O Umar, you know that Jibreel, that your friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a mention of, that Jibreel is an enemy of ours. Umar replies, whoever is an enemy of Allah, an enemy of his messengers, an enemy of his angels, verily Allah is his enemy. And the verse of the Quran is revealed, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوَّ لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ke Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, it would be a good thing if we made Maqami Ibrahim a place of prayer. We made that a place of prayer. My brothers, the Quran is revealed from the heavens. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordered to make the place of Ibrahim a place of prayer. 20 opinions of Sayyidina Umar Faruq received the sanction of revelation. It is a Jumu'ah. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is delivering a sermon. And just as you are listening to the reminder, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was delivering a sermon reminding the people of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of a sudden, as he is delivering this khutbah, he stops and he pauses and he thinks. Then all of a sudden, he shouts out in the khutbah, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, O Sariya, go to the mountains. Now the congregation that is sitting there is puzzled and confused. Who is Umar talking to? What is he referring to? They had no idea. When the khutbah came to an end, they asked Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Okay, what are you referring to? Who are you talking to? Who is Sariya? Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains, Okay, as I was delivering this sermon, a thought crossed my mind that the Muslims are in a distant land and they are fighting the kuffar and they are being defeated by the kuffar. So I told Sariya, Okay, O Sariya, go towards the mountains and launch an attack. You will be victorious. My brothers, this is how he explains himself. A month passes. At the time when Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explained himself, he was in Madinatul Munawwara, and the person that he was talking to, Sariya, was hundreds of miles away in a distant land. 1 month passes and a messenger comes to Umar Faruq and he says, Oh Umar, we were in a distant land and we were fighting the enemy. when we were being defeated, when all of a sudden, as we were being defeated, we heard your voice saying, hey, Ya Sariya, go to the mountains. We went to the mountains and we acted upon your advice and we launched an attack. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with victory. My brothers, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there was a famine in his time. People have nothing to eat. People are suffering. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he leaves with the people. He offers 2 rakat namaz. After offering 2 rakat namaz, he raises his hands and he begs for Allah's mercy. He prays to the Almighty Allah. And this was the dua of Umar. Allahumma inna nastaghfiruka wa nastasqeek. O Allah, we beg you for forgiveness. O Allah, forgive all our sins. O Allah, the people are suffering. They have nothing to eat. There are no crops. We beg you, send down rain. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu stands there and begs for Allah's mercy. And he does not move. And his dua is answered. And the heavens open. And it begins to rain. The remarkable thing is, time passes like this. One day, after a period, a man comes from the Bedouin comes. And he approaches Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, oh Umar, you know what? A strange thing happened on such a day. At such a time, we were in our village, and in that village of ours, we saw a cloud, and from that cloud, we heard a voice, and the voice was saying, Ya Aba Hafs, ataka al-ghawthu ya Aba Hafs, O Umar, the help of Allah is coming, and that coincided exactly with the time when Umar had raised his hand, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, miles away in a different village. People can hear a voice from the cloud saying, Ya Umar, the help of Allah is coming. This was the status of Umar for those that are ignorant with regard to the personality of Sayyidina Umar Farooq Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Yet, this personality, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the days of ignorance, was the biggest enemy of Islam. There was no hope, nobody could even imagine that the likes of Umar would ever embrace Islam. There was not even a glimmer of hope that the likes of Umar would ever embrace Islam. My brothers, to such an extent, the Amir would say with regards to Umar, he would say, فَلَا يُسْلِمْ أَلَّذِي رَأَيْتْ حَتَّى يُسْلِمْ حِمَارُ الْخَطَّابِ, that this man Umar Farooq, he will not embrace Islam till his father's donkey does not embrace Islam. Meaning that there is no chance. Others can embrace Islam, but there is no chance that this Umar will ever embrace Islam. That he will ever declare, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But what did they know? Innaka la tahdi man ahbab, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. The hearts are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the morning, a person can be a believer. Allah turns the heart. In the evening, he can be a kafir. He can be a disbeliever. A person can be a disbeliever, a kafir in the evening. The hearts are in the hands of Allah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَىٰ. He can wake up as a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that guides. Allah is the one that blesses people with Islam. And Allah is the one that takes them out from the fall of Islam. What did these people know? That very soon, this Umar was to become Al-Faruq. Man farraka bayn al-haqq wal-batil. The very man who will distinguish between right and wrong. The very man who will distinguish between Islam and Kufr. The very man who will distinguish between haqq and batil. What did they know? That the dua of Rasulullah, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make with regards to Abu Jahl and with regards to Umar, would be accepted in the favor of Umar. Allahumma izzal Islam. Allah, I beg you, honor Islam with either Umar or with either Abu Jahl. Whoever is more dear to you. Umar was more dear to Abu Jahl. And as a result, Allah answered the dua of Rasulullah. What did they know? That the dream of Rasulullah was to become a reality. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a dream. People are being presented before him. And these people are being presented before him. They are wearing shirts. Some of them, their shirts are up to their chest. Some of them, slightly below. Some of them, below this. Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is presented to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's wearing a shirt which he's drawing. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in ask our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the interpretation of this dream. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that this dream means that Islam will gain strength. This dream means that Islam will spread far and wide. And at the time, Umar had not even embraced Islam. My brothers, the dream of Rasulullah was a revelation, and this was going to become a reality which the whole world would witness. come the sixth year after prophethood, after Nabuwa, and the kuffar are sitting in their gatherings. They are sitting in their gatherings and they are discussing. They want this man who claims to be a messenger, whose name is Muhammad. They want to see Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead. And they are making mashwara. Who will go and slay this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Perchance Umar is in that gathering. He volunteers. He says, "O Kafiro, I will take care of this man Muhammad and I will kill him." With a sword in his hand, he now makes his way to this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's making his way to his house. And on the way, he's met by Nu'aym ibn Abdullah. And when Nu'aym ibn Abdullah sees the dark frowns on the face of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, he sensed evil. So he asked Sayyidina Umar, "Ki Umar, ayna turid ya Umar? O Umar, where are you going?" He replied, "Uridu Muhammadan hadhihi sahabi." I am going to kill this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn him away. Nu'aym ibn Abdullah said, "Afala tarji ila ahli baytik fatuqimu amrahum?" Why don't you go home first? Your sister has left the deen of your forefathers. She declares la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Your brother-in-law, he declares la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and he has also left the deen of your forefathers. Umar cannot believe. How dare his sister embrace Islam? How dare his brother-in-law embrace Islam? Furious, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu changes direction, and with a sword in his hand, he makes his way to his sister's house. His sister and his brother-in-law are at home. They are receiving lessons of the Quran from Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He reaches the door. The door is bolted. When Khabbab hears the voice of Umar, he hides in an inner room. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu beats the door. The door is bolted. His brother-in-law opens the door. He opens the door without asking a single question. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu pounces upon his brother-in-law and he begins to beat him savagely. He begins to hit him so hard that his sister cannot tolerate to see the suffering of her husband and the beating that her husband is receiving. And she intervenes and she begins to push her brother away and she begins to protect her husband. At the end of the day, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to beat his sister, and he beats her so much that his sister is covered with blood from head to toe. But at the end of the day, she was a sister of Umar, and the same blood that flew in the veins of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu also flowed in the veins of his sister. And she turned on to her brother and said, "Ya Umar, do as you please. We have declared la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship other than Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. There is nothing more dear to us than Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This religion of Allah has now set firm in our hearts. It is established in our hearts, and we will never leave the deen of Allah and we will never leave Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You do as you please. If you want to beat us, you beat us, and if you want to kill us, you kill us. You cut us into pieces, but I will not leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This was her iman. This was her gharat, and these words had an effect on Umar. And Umar, when he saw the blood gushing from the body of her sister, he became ashamed. And then he asked for the Quran. She stood firm and said, "O Umar, never in a million years will you touch this Quran. You are a filthy man. You are unclean. You are impure. لا يمس إلا المطهرون. Those that are only pure can touch the Quran." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately leaves, and he goes and he takes a bath. And when after taking above, he returns, and now the Quran is recited before him, and the reciter recites the Quran from the verses, "طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات الأولى الرحمن على الأرش استوى." This was the Quran. It is the miracle of all miracles. It was a miracle yesterday. It is a miracle as I address you and you listen to the reminder, and it will remain a miracle right till the day of judgment. So blessed is this book. كشهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. It was revealed in the month of Ramadan, and it became the blessed, and the month of Ramadan became the blessed month of Ramadan. It was revealed on the 27th night. And what happened to the 27th night? إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. The night the Quran was revealed in was no ordinary night. As a result of the Quran being revealed in it, it became the night of power. So blessed was this book that when it was revealed on our beloved Prophet Muhammad, he became Sayyid al-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, the leader of the former, the leader of the latter, and it took him to the seven skies and above, from Jannat and Jahannam. So blessed is this this book that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Taif and he decided to stop at a place called Batn al-Nakhla and he woke up and he began to pray his tahajjud and he engaged himself in tahajjud and he began to recite the Quran. He recited the Quran in such a beautiful voice, in such a melodious voice that a group of jinn at the time were listening to the recitation of the Quran, and such was a magical effect that this book had on these people, on this group of jinn, that in that gathering these jinn declared, إِنَّ سَمِيْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّ بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحْدًا وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةٌ وَلَا وَلَدًا. They declared, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. اللَّهُ أَكْبَر اللَّهُ أَكْبَر. This was the book that was being recited before Umar Farooq. This book was not going to leave Umar without having an impact on his heart. And as the Qari, the reciter, began to recite the book, the heart of stone which was in the body of Umar slowly began to crack. It began to melt like snow melts on the hot sun. Every verse that was being recited before him was having an impact on the heart of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The reciter kept on reciting, and when he got to the verse of the Quran, Inni ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni, wa aqimis salati li dhikri, that there is no God worthy of worship but me, so worship me. This was too much for Umar to handle, and he uttered, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's taken to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. The likes of Hamza is with Nabi Kareem sallallahu. They see Umar coming. He has with him his sword in his hand. And the likes of Hamza remarks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar is coming. If Umar is coming with an evil intention, if Umar is coming with a good intention, then let him be. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must say, if Umar is coming with an evil intention, Ya Rasulullah, I will take his sword from him and I will behead him and I will place his head before your feet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Hamza, O Hamza, let Umar be. And he approaches our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, O Umar, tell me why you have come. And the lips of Umar move with the shahada, Ki ashadu Allah, O Muhammad, let me tell you why I have come. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I have understood and I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship, and I believe that you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only did he embrace Islam, so strong he was in his faith. And you've got to bear this in mind, my brothers. He was not an old man when he embraced Islam. He was young, just like you and I. So strong he was on his faith. So strong that the likes of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, مَا أَلِمْتُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا حَاجَرَ مُخْتَفِيًا إِلَّا أُمْرَ بْنَ الْخَتَّابِ. He says, and you know that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ, was from amongst the bravest companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Ali narrates, كَمَا عَلِمْتُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ, that everyone from amongst the muhajireen, that when they migrated, and the time came for them to migrate from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given permission to migrate as a result of the persecutions and the oppression of the kuffar. He says, every one of them, when the time came to migrate, they migrated secretly and they migrated quietly without letting any members of their family or any of their extended family members know, fearing the consequences and fearing the difficulties that they may encounter. And as a result of this, when the time came to migrate, they did not inform anyone except for Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. So brave he was and so strong he was in what he believed, that when the time came for Umar to migrate, he was the only one that did not migrate secretly. The narration suggests, come the time of migration and Umar takes his sword, and his other hand he has his bow and arrows, and he makes his way to Masjid al-Haram. And just as you sit before me listening to the reminder on the day, the leaders of the kuffar are in Masjid al-Haram and they are sitting in their small gatherings with their murids, with their people. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala goes to the house of Allah and he makes tawaf. He goes around the house of Allah 7 times. And after making tawaf, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala who comes and prays two rakat behind Maqami Ibrahim. And after praying behind Maqami Ibrahim, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala who goes and meets with the leaders of the kuffar that were sitting with their people in their gatherings. And this is what Umar had to say to their leaders. Umar said, whosoever does not mind his mother lamenting him, and whoever does not mind that today his wife become a widow, and his children become orphans, then come and let him meet Umar outside this masjid. Because Umar wants to leave and migrate to Madinatul Munawwarah, and he does not want to be accused of migrating secretly. Allahu Akbar, not a single kafir leader, in spite of the fact that they were in greater numbers, not one of them stood up to the challenge of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Such was the love. Today, my brothers, you claim that you love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is so easy to chant. Everybody chants. Ashiki Rasul, every Muslim chants this, that he is an ashik. Ishq, that he has love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in heart. But we never tested. We are never tested. It is occasions like this we get tested. And it is on occasions like this that the reality of our iman and the reality of our love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam surfaces. Such was the love that Umar had for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to cut the narration short, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was displeased with his wives. And he separated from our mothers for a short while. And a false rumor spread in Madinatul Munawwarah that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has divorced the Azwaji Mutahharat. He has divorced our mothers. Now the daughter of Umar, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, was the wife of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine how Umar, when Umar heard this rumor that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has divorced his wives, he's divorced Hafsa being one of them. How do you think Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anha must have felt? And as soon as he heard this rumor, immediately he did not go to his daughter to ask. He immediately went to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he knocked on the door. And today, something strange happens. On normal occasions, with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was always Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. And every time Umar came, the doors of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were open. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was welcome. And today, the doors of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are closed. And Umar is not given permission. And Umar thinks in his heart, okay, maybe today I am being refused permission. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feels that I have come on behalf of my daughter, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when permission was refused, he sent a message to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, I must make it clear to you that Umar has not come to plead on behalf of his daughter Hafsa. Umar has not come to intercede on behalf of his daughter Hafsa. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such is the love that I have for you that if you were to order me in this gathering to bring the head of my daughter and place it at your feet, O Messenger of Allah, I would behead her myself and I would place her head at your feet. This was the love that when it came to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people were prepared to sacrifice their mothers, their fathers and their daughters. And today such is the condition that a Muslim cannot even sacrifice a game of football for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this Muslim is shocked as to why worldwide the Ummah is being humiliated and why the kuffar have overpowered the Muslims. This is the condition of the ummah. Yet the likes of Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such was his condition, that when he came to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was prepared to even sacrifice his children. The likes of Amr ibn al-As making a mention of this. He says, after Allah's Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, I have never seen anyone that was more God-fearing than Sayyidina Umar. And he explains by relating a very beautiful tradition. He explains that on one occasion whilst I was in Egypt, he was the governor of Egypt, Amr ibn al-As, one of the great commanders of Islam, one of the great Muslim generals. He was chosen by Umar to be the governor of Egypt. And he was residing in Egypt. He says, when I was informed one day that the sons of Umar have come as mujahids and they have come to Egypt, he says, I asked as to where they were residing, I was informed. He says, prior to this, Umar had wrote a letter to me. And in this letter, Umar had written that if you ever treat any one member of my family in a manner different to the way you treated any one of the other believers, then I will punish you and I will dismiss you from my post. Meaning that because they are my children or because they are connected with me, you cannot give them preference and you cannot give them special treatment. This was the letter Umar had written to Amr ibn al-As. He says, fearing their father, when his sons came to Egypt, I did not go to visit them and I did not give them any gift whatsoever and I left it to this. He says, one day his son Abdurrahman came knocking on the door with a companion. And he said, oh Amr, we were intoxicated last night. I want you to implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. He says, I told them off and I sent them away. His son Abdurrahman said, yo Amr, if you do not punish us, then when I return to Madinah al-Munawwara, I will inform my father that you did not carry out the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Sayyidina Amr al-As radiallahu ta'ala said, I knew if I did not punish him, he will inform his father and his father will definitely dismiss me because of this. He says, meanwhile his other son came, Abdullah ibn Umar. And they were sitting in a gathering. And out of respect on seeing Abdullah ibn Umar, a great companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amr ibn al-As asked him to sit at the front of the gathering. But he refused, saying that his father did not like things like this. And he sat at the end of the gathering. And he came and requested. Now in those days, if they took intoxicants, they were beaten and at the same time their heads were shaven publicly. So Abdullah ibn Umar requested. He asked for the beating, that was the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not mind. But as for the shaving of the head, he requested that it be done privately and not publicly. Sayyidina Amr al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu took them both in the courtyard and he punished them both. And then Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar took them inside the house and he shaved both of their heads privately. Now Amr al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu had carried out the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of this he felt content and he did not feel the need of telling Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he left it to this. And as time passed, one day all of a sudden he received a letter from Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is what the letter read. Sayyidina Umar wrote, Min Abdullah Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen ila al-Asi ibn al-Asi. From Abdullah, the servant of Allah, Umar, commander of the faithful, ila al-Asi ibn al-Asi, to the disobedient one, to the son of a disobedient one. Ajibtu laka ibn al-Asi wa lajur'atik alayya. O disobedient one, I'm so surprised at you and at your courage and how you went against the commands and the instructions of Umar. O Amr, I gave you preference over the people of Badr and I made you governor of Egypt, yet these people were better than you. And the reason I made you governor is because what I saw in you and what I believed in you. And today you have disgraced me by giving my children preference, and you gave them special treatment, that you punished them in your courtyard and you did not punish them publicly. As soon as you received this letter of mine, I have dismissed you from your post. And as for my son, you will make him wear a gown, and you will make him sit on a camel, and immediately you will send him to Madinatul Munawwara, so he realizes the evil that is committed. Sayyidina Abu al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I did as his father asked. I sent his son back to Madinatul Munawwara, and I wrote a letter to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu explaining. And I took qasam and I took an oath that, O Umar, I did not give special treatment to your son. Many a people I have punished in my courtyard, before him, Muslim and non-Muslim. Your son was not the first that I treated in this manner. So in that sense, I did not give preference to your son. He says, he sent his son back, and when his son reached Madinatul Munawwara, such was the love that Sayyidina Umar Farooq had for Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To make his son an example, he began to beat him. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from amongst the Ashari Mubashara, from the 10 that received glad tidings of paradise. He intervened and said, Umar, the laws of Allah, the hudud, have already been carried out. He has already received his due. He has been punished. Let him be. You're hurting the child. And the child also cried out, Ya Abba, you're hurting me. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted him to make him an example. And he kept on beating him. And a weak hadith suggests that as a result of this beating, this son of Umar fell ill. And then later, this son of Umar, as a result of this beating, left the world and he died. This was the love that once upon a time people had for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today there are people like you and me. He became one of the greatest conquerors of all time. He conquered the superpowers of his time. He conquered the Persians, who were the power of the time, and he conquered the Romans, who were the superpowers of the time. Armenia, he conquered. Egypt, he conquered. Iran, Iraq, he conquered. Azerbaijan, Tabaristan, Khurasan, and the list continues. In short, in 10 years, Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquered 2.25 million square miles of land. 2.25 million square miles of land. My brothers, this is what you call men. This is what you call men. And the next time you drive, you know, your Subaru, or even your Merc convertible, or whatever car that you drive, and when you drive, you want all the eyes to turn to you and look at you. Why? Because you're the bad guy of the street, and you feel you're it. You know, the day you become the likes of Umar, maybe that day you can say that you're it. He conquered 2.25 million square miles of land. Just his name was such that when it was mentioned in the gatherings of the king of Persia, the generals and the king of Persia would begin to tremble. You know, in this day and age, you have great powers. How powerful do you think in this day and age would be that particular personality in whose gatherings that if his name was mentioned in the gatherings of the superpowers of today, the presidents and the prime ministers would begin to sweat? What do you think would be the status of such a personality? Such was Umar. that millions of miles are being conquered. And such was the treasure that was presented to Umar, that sometimes in his gathering, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een would come, and they have with them the swords of Kisra, and the robes and the crowns of Kisra, and they would present them before Umar in Madinatul Munawwara. And sometimes it was the robes of Anushirwan, sometimes it was the treasures of Nakhir-Jan, rubies, diamonds worth millions. Sometimes it was the swords of the monarchs of China. They were presented before Umar. One occasion, a horse of solid gold, solid gold. And this horse had a saddle of silver. And on the breast of this horse, there was priceless rubies and diamonds. And this is presented before Umar. Once, a she-camel of silver. And the saddle of this she-camel was of gold. And the leading string of this she-camel was studded with priceless rubies and diamonds. And the rider of this she-camel from head to toe was glittering in diamonds. And this is presented before Umar, before him in Madinatul Munawwara. Once a piece of carpet. And this carpet had flowers and trees and everything that you can name. And the remarkable thing was, everything was worked in gold, it was worked in silver, and it was decorated with rubies and diamonds. And this piece of, large piece of carpet, I can't remember exactly the size, but it was a large piece of carpet. And this was the most magnificent thing. And it was presented to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. What personality do you think this man possessed? How big do you think this man was? Today you and I, we feel big. You know, we have a new mobile phone and we feel big. We wear some smart clothes and we feel big. You know, we have our names on our cars. Thing that puzzles me is, how can we never have any names on our clothes? But we have names on our cars, so that we can be identified. It makes a person inside his heart, it makes him feel good. It makes him feel big. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And this is the thing that took Iblis out. One of the biggest worshippers of all time. But as soon as he started suffering from the it syndrome, you know, the I syndrome, me, myself, and I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him out from paradise. This man had the world under his feet. And the treasures to the world, the keys to the treasures of the world were in the hands of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yet you know how he lived. The likes of Qadada relates. It is a Jummah. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, would lead the Jummah prayer and he would deliver the khutbah on a Jummah. Now the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een are sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they are waiting for the Amir al-Mu'mineen to come and deliver a sermon, the khutbah. And the Amir al-Mu'mineen is nowhere to be found. Time passes. The gathering is worried. And then he walks in. He sits on the minbar. And the Amir al-Mu'mineen offers his excuse. And his excuse for coming late was this. Ke o Muslimano, I had washed my shirt. And I was waiting for my shirt to dry. I do not have any other shirt other than this. This was the excuse of Umar. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, keys to the treasures of the world, and he's washing his own shirt. And this is the only shirt he has. And he's waiting for it to dry, so he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a Jummah. Zayd ibn Wahab goes a step further and he says, I saw the Amir al-Mu'mineen walking to the market wearing a garment, and he counted 14 patches on the garment of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. Yet this same Umar, when his name was mentioned in the gatherings of the powers of the time, they would begin to tremble. Quds, Jerusalem was conquered. And this was one of the biggest conquests for Muslims. Can you imagine how the Muslim must have felt conquering Jerusalem? سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. The very masjid to where our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken specially on the night of Mi'raj. Arab, and this world is a beautiful place because it's been created by Allah. And there are beautiful destinations. And Allah, especially on that night, out of all millions of destinations, Allah chose Masjid al-Aqsa. How do you think the Muslims felt the day they conquered Jerusalem? And the day they were able to go see the very place that their beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on the night of Mi'raj, the very place in which he led all the prophets in prayer. How do you think the Muslims felt? Now the whole world was waiting. Waiting for the march of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. They wanted to see how Umar will march from Medina to Munawwara, how he will march to Jerusalem, how many people he will be accompanying. You know when generals march, and if you study history and how generals have marched, when they conquer places of significance, they march with pomp and glory and splendor, with hundreds and thousands of people accompanying them, and with bands and music playing. And the world, when Jerusalem was conquered, was waiting for Umar and his march. And this is what they were expecting. But you know how Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala went to Jerusalem? There was no such thing as hundreds and thousands of Sahaba accompanying Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. There's no such thing as splendor and pomp. There was no such thing as bands or music or singing. If you pick up the historical narrations, you will find that not even a tent was provided for the accommodation of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And you've got to bear in mind that he was marching from Medina to Jerusalem. In those days, it would take a month to get to Jerusalem, and it would take a month to return. Surely Umar was going to sleep at night. Surely a tent was a basic necessity with which he would cover himself at night and sleep inside. Narration suggests that not even a tent was provided for Umar. One narration suggests that he comes on his camel. And a second narration suggests that he came on his horse. And the hooves of this horse were so worn to tenderness that the horse was limping, it could barely walk. Umar has no hat on his head, and he has no chadar. And as a result, his head was burning due to the heat. And you know, his saddle was the chadar that he used to cover his body. During the day, it would become his saddle. And during the night, that would be the bedding of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. He comes wearing shabby attire. And this shabby attire is torn in many places. And this is how he reaches Jerusalem. And before he gets to Jerusalem, he's received by the Muslim generals. The likes of Abu Ubaidah and others come to receive the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when they saw Umar dressed in the manner that he'd chosen for himself, fearing that this would put the Muslims to shame, immediately they went and got him white clothes. And at the same time, they brought him a horse of Turkish breed. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not even look at them. And he continued. He reached a river. And when he reached that river, he took off his moze, his khuffain, his leather socks. He took them off, and Umar placed the leather socks on his shoulders. He held the rein of his horse and he entered the water. Abu Ubaidah could not tolerate this, fearing that if the Christians saw that the Amir al-Mu'mineen of the Muslim carries his own socks on his shoulder, fearing that this will disgrace the Muslims in the eyes of the Kuffar, he could not tolerate but to say to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Umar, you are of all people are doing this. And Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abu Ubaidah, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, had anyone else said this to me today, then believe me, Abu Ubaidah, they would have known how Umar would have punished them." And then he explained to Abu Ubaidah, "Abu Ubaidah, inna kunna adalla qawmin, we were the lowest of the law. We had no value. In the days of Jahiliyyah, nobody even wanted to rule us. This is how we were. We were in the depths of ignorance, Jahiliyyah, lowest of the law. فَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, Allah gave us this thing called respect, izzat, honor. He gave us this through Islam. فَمَحْنَا نَتْلَبُ الْعِزْ بِغَيْرِ مَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ أَزَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. And whenever we look for respect in things other than Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace us. How beautiful the words of Umar are. And if you ask me, the reason the Muslim is being humiliated and disgraced today, because he does not act upon these words of Umar. Today the Muslim feels inferior. He feels that what everyone else has to offer is far greater than what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to offer. And thus, he is being disgraced. There is only one way that this ummah will ever return to its former glory. And this ummah can only become a progressive ummah if it sees respect in the teachings of Allah and His Rasul. And it holds them in far greater value than it holds anything else. My brothers, a final narration I will conclude. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such was his condition that he did not even receive a salary from Baytul Mal, the public treasury. And yet he's the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Only when he was on the verge of starvation did he ask for a salary. And this salary of his was such that when the Sahaba came to know of what he lives on, they themselves requested, Ya Umar, there needs to be an increase in your salary, there you need to have beautiful clothes, clean white clothes, and a vessel containing food should be presented before you every morning and every evening so that the Sahaba could also sit with you. Now, but the thing was, who dared to approach Umar with regards to this proposal and put this forward to Umar? Because Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had awe. And especially when it came to matters with regards to the dunya, Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not easy approachable. And the Sahaba were terrified to approach Umar with regards to this. So they came to our mothers, our mother Hafsa and our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because they knew that Umar will not say anything to the mothers and the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time they said to our mothers, put this forward to Umar, but do not tell Umar and do not mention our names to Umar. And they did this. They put this proposal forward to Umar. And in spite of the fact that Hazrat Umar had a very strong personality, and if you analyze the hadith of Rasulullah, very rare will you find that Hazrat Umar has broken down into tears. Though his heart cried at all times, but apparently he had a very strong personality, he had a very strong character. And on that day when our mothers and the wives of Rasulullah say, approach Sayyidina Umar with regards to this, the hadith states, فَبَكَى عُمَرْ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا, Hazrat Umar could not hold himself and tears began to flow from his eyes. And he said to our mother, Aisha and Hafsa, Aisha, سألتك بالله, I ask you on oath. He gave them قسم and said, هل تعلمين أن رسول الله شبع من خبز بر 10 أيام أو 5 أو 3 أو جمع بين عشاء وغداء حتى لحق بالله. Was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was he ever served food made out of wheat for 10 consecutive days or 5 or 3? Did our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever eat 2 meals in any one day throughout his entire life? And our mothers replied in one voice, can Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never in his entire life do any one of these things? He asked, هل تعلمين أن رسول الله قرب إليه طعام على مائدة في ارتفاع شبر من الأرض? Was he ever served food on a table which happened to be more than one span high? And exactly they replied in one voice, can Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did this? He turned around and said to our mothers, كَأَنْتَمَا زَوْجَدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, you are the wives of Rasulullah and you are the mothers of the Muslims. And you have rights upon Muslims and you have rights upon Umar. But today, O Aisha, O Hafsa, you have come to Umar to attract him towards the dunya. I swear by the Almighty Allah, I know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wear a garment of thick material. And due to its thickness, it would itch the blessed body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Aisha, O Hafsa, do you know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep on his robe which only had one fold? O Aisha, there was a piece of sack inside your house. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit on it during the day. And in the evening, he would sleep on it. And when we, the Sahaba, would come to visit him in the morning, we would see the marks on the blessed body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Hafsa, did you not tell me that one occasion you spread a soft bedding for him, and as a result of which our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that particular occasion was not able to wake up for his tahajjud? And then he said to you, O Hafsa, Mali wa dunya, what am I going to do with the dunya? O Hafsa, do you not know anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان مغفورا له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر أمسى جائيا ورقب ساجدا. The Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such was his status in the eyes of Allah that he was free from sin. He would spend the days in starvation and he would spend the night in prostration and tears would flow from his eyes and he would beg Allah's mercy and he would do this every day and every night till he met the Almighty Allah. Umar has two examples to follow before him. He has the examples of Muhammad and he has the examples of Abu Bakr. لا أكل عمر طيبا ولا لبس ليلا فله أسوة بصاحبه. Umar has these two examples and these are the examples that he will follow. Umar will never eat good food and Umar will never eat good clothes. And the hadith states, فلم يذل كذلك حتى لحق بالله. And this is how Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu lived his life till he met the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, if we are to succeed as an ummah, then the only way we can succeed is by following the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by taking personalities like Rasulullah, like Abu Bakr, like Umar, like Uthman, like Ali, and like all the Sahaba, all the Salaf al-Saliheen, taking these personalities and following them and taking their examples. This is the only way as an ummah can we progress, can we retain our former glory, and once again, my brothers, we will rule the world. This is the only way we can do this. Until we do not do this, my brothers, there is no way that we will ever, ever retain our former glory. And I conclude on this word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. And Allah give you the tawfiq. And I thank you for making that sacrifice today. I'm aware of the fact that in this evening, there was the Brazilian game. But mashallah, I think you should be pleased with yourselves that you gave preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you were not from amongst those that gave a game of soccer preference to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've done this now. Do it in the future. I swear by the Almighty Allah, the more you act upon the teachings of Allah and His Rasul, and the more sunnahs you adopt, and the more you beautify your lives with the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more Allah will show you, and the more you will enjoy this life, and the more you will enjoy the next life. Allah give us the tawfiq to act upon what He said. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.